Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my amazing co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we are so thrilled. We're going to be speaking about modesty. Now, you know what's interesting, Michelle, is I'm very excited for the opening of a blessing of a store on our campus, which I'm sure women can go in there and find some modest clothing.
You are right.
And I'm sure you filter out through some clothing that maybe does not fit so well.
Oh, yes.
And it should be a great way for women to both fellowship, find some wonderful things for them to take home, and really be reflections of Christ with style, though.
Yep.
With style. You got to have the style in there.
Oh, you are. You're going to come shop at the Blessing Boutique. It opens on June 17th.
Okay.
4 p.m. right after the missionary tea.
Wow.
Our missionary tea is our annual get together where we welcome home our missionary women.
Yeah.
Have tea and cookies and laugh. And
I went last year. It was wonderful.
It
my
is.
Mom came with me. One of my best friends came. We were all so blessed. So
we've got some great speakers this year. Bethany Pearson, Avril Plunkett, Liz Robbins.
Wow.
Women from three different countries are going to showcase what God is doing.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Yeah, you know, June is a really big month for our church. We have convention coming up. The 19th is actually my husband's birthday as well, so that's why I remember. And then mine is the next day.
Awesome.
So it's just going to be a full month, and I'm excited. I'm excited about all God's going to do and all the different people that we're going to see that are coming into town. It's a joyful time, and we just want to invite anyone in the Baltimore area or beyond. You are invited too. So we have an international convention that begins on June 19th, and you can come to the door, look at the program, see what workshops you want to attend, what sessions you want to attend. It's a great way to grow in God no matter where you are in your faith.
On Tuesday through Saturday, there's a women's session at 8:45 in the chapel, 8 a.m. 8:45 in the chapel, and we'll have wonderful speakers there too.
Oh, awesome.
Well, in America, Memorial Day is traditionally the day the pools open.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to go to Instagram just to put up a notice. And there was photos of a young girl that I know. I know her, her family.
Okay.
And she was wearing a bikini at a pool. And there were six photos. It had less material than a Kleenex.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing was
Michelle.
Left to the imagination. It broke my heart to see this girl who was basically nude.
Hmm.
And no one was forcing her to take these photos.
Right.
If somebody had been, we would have called the police.
Hmm.
But she was doing it herself, and she was delighting in showing off her body.
Wow.
And I read a scripture, Jeremiah 6:15. The prophet says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush."
Wow.
This beautiful, dear, sweet young lady is just reflecting our culture.
Yes, yes.
We have lost the ability to blush over the exposure of our bodies.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the younger generation. I mean, honestly, even on mine, you know, we're constantly thrown these messages, these visuals of this is what you're supposed to be, so get to it.
Yeah.
And so for her, she's thinking, look, I embody beauty. And what I love about God is that his emphasis is on the interior rather than on the exterior. And once you feel lovely, it makes a big difference in a lot of the decisions that you make about your clothing. But until you get there, because modesty isn't only reduced to clothing, this is only one aspect of it. Once you get to that place, how many other things have you grown in? You've probably had somebody investing in you. You've probably been able to understand your word more. Maybe in the area of self-worth, you have grown and really received a ministry from God personally. A lot of us could snap a picture and it would speak volumes about where we are.
Sure.
You know, so I just think about this young girl and how what she's projecting and what she's feeling are things to kind of feel tender about, you know, not at all to say we should compromise, but before we place judgment, before we say this is according to the church, what is acceptable, according to the word, what's acceptable, we have to evaluate where people are. you know, and what she really needs is someone telling her more and more, you don't have to do this to be beautiful. No matter what the billboard is telling you, what the music video is telling you. I don't know if they still have music videos. Do they still have music videos? I mean, I don't watch any music videos, but
I don't know. TikTok, YouTube.
Yeah, there's different kinds of music
videos.
There's
stuff going on.
And there's projections there that get in your mind and say, no, no, this is the way you need to live. And it's hard. It's very hard.
It really is, because we're all attracted to beauty.
Yes.
And marketing is trying to stimulate our mind to get you to attach an emotion to a product.
Right, right.
You know, you see a beautiful girl and she's got this makeup on and you're like, wow, where can I get that? I want to look just like her.
Yes, yes. And that's the goal, right? We want to remember that, you know, when we are in the church, we can be cleansed by the word and renewed by our brothers and sisters in Christ about what actually matters. But there are other places where people are gathering in boardrooms and saying, this is a target. When should we start? When she's 8? When she's 9? We want her to be this by the time she's 15, 16, because then we get dollars in our pocket.
Absolutely.
That's just the way that it is.
Yep.
But, you know, I really think, Michelle, too, like I was telling you yesterday, one of my first examples or early exposure that I had to modesty, because it wasn't really something I heard a lot about growing up. I mean, my mom was always a fashionable dresser. You know, she covered herself, but she was always in professional wear. You know, she always had a managerial position. But when I first got saved, when I was in college, I remember some of the first girls that I befriended, you know, based on their simplified way of dressing, I could tell they weren't striving to draw a lot of attention to themselves or display the latest trends. I could just tell that about how they were dressed. You could tell they still cared about how they looked, but the style was very unique. I'll say it that way. And what I saw these girls doing more than anything was coming to Bible study, making sure they were at all three services at their church. And then they had fun on the weekends in a way that did not involve alcohol or excessive dating. And for the campus that we were at, that was a very separate model for me. And so as I got to know them and I realized how much they were filling themselves up with God, it wasn't an either or. It wasn't like I'm reading my Bible all the time because there's no time for fun. It was, yes, I build who I am. I build my capacity. I build my thinking patterns off of this book that I constantly have my nose in. And then because I do like to have fun, I do like to fellowship with my friends. I like to be around other people my age. I'm not just this sour person, not wanting to do anything that's thrilling or exciting, but I do have a healthy boundary, and that is under God. And I'm okay with that because it keeps me protected and it keeps me away from my mind focusing on things I don't need to.
Excellent.
Because a lot of it leads to trouble, or a lot of it leads to you feeling like you are being degraded or objectified deep down in your soul. That's really how it feels. Even if you have the applause of the room, you can still feel very small, as you said, with barely anything on, saying, is this what I have to do every time for approval? This genuinely makes me sad, you know?
Well, modesty is not anti-fashion.
Right.
Let's start with that.
Love it. Yes.
And I went to a wedding yesterday and I saw maybe 80 women.
Okay.
Dressed beautifully, fashionably, relaxed, but covered.
Right.
And modest.
Right.
So what do we wear to the beach?
What do you wear to the beach, Michelle? Oh,
I wear, we'll talk about that later. But let's go to the Bible.
Okay.
So 1 Timothy 2:9-10, in like manner also, women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, Paul has given us three punchy words here, modesty, propriety, and moderation. So we already said modesty is not anti-fashion. He said women adorn themselves. So, yay, we get to have jewelry and cute purses.
Right, yeah.
And that word for modesty means well-ordered, well-arranged, decent.
Yes.
We're not talking about something that's forbidden.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't need to all wear dresses that go from our ankle to our shoulder and, you know, no jewelry. We get to have fun.
Yes.
And there's a lot to have fun with in God's beautiful world. A lot of color, a lot of pattern. And that same word for adorn is the word for the bride, beautifying herself for her husband in Revelation 21:2.
Wow.
So we are warned against overdoing it.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Flashy clothes, too much makeup, crazy expensive jewelry. And I think modesty is a little reflection of what you worship.
Yes, definitely. And I think the state of your heart too, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Because yep. if the focus is really on Christ, then that definitely changes your perspective before you start adorning yourself. So what is your heart motive? Mm-hmm. I want this person to look at me. I want this many compliments today. I want to feel less ugly than I did yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and there's a level of a relatability that we can understand, even as mothers, you know, like when you're a mom of young kids, sometimes it is like a battle just to be able to wash your face and take a shower and really feel clean, you know. And that's one reason why I think sometimes after we've had a whole week of that, we just go all out the week after. We're like, I'm going to lunch with my friend. You're going to see my new shoes. You're going to see my dress. You're going to see everything because I've just been waiting to feel pretty again.
Yes.
You know, so it definitely matters what's going on in our lives, but how we absolutely define ourselves at our core cannot be dependent on how we look all the time. I grew up in a household where my mom raised me, like how you look before you leave. If you don't, you're going to end up going to a mirror, constantly pulling, tugging. You be okay with it. And I've taken that with me into every season of my life, you know, because it does affect my mood. You know, just in all honesty,
yes.
you know, but I don't think, like you're saying, I don't think that's worship. I think that's me saying, I want to represent myself in a way where I'm comfortable and where God is comfortable, of course.
Well, I think it absolutely fits with this idea of well arranged.
Yes.
Well okay. ordered. Mm-hmm. I like that. Like how you look
before you leave. Yes.
That is so nice.
Yes.
Well, women can overdo it. We can also underdo it.
Mm.
Clothes that are too tight, too short,
yes.
too thin, or too revealing. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask yourself why.
Right.
Why
right.
are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What hole are you trying to fill?
Mm.
What are you trying to attract
yes.
with that kind of bait?
Yes.
I was with a Bible college student in September. We were in the chapel. And we had a break, and she jumped up, and I said, oh, where are you going? She goes, oh, I have ripped jeans on. She goes, I forgot to change. I have to leave.
Oh.
She ran across the street, changed, and come back.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just spoke volumes to me.
Wow.
She was sitting down. Nobody would have seen those ripped jeans.
Right.
And that's all the fashion now.
Right, right, right.
You know? So I didn't even think a thing of it.
Sure.
But God pricked her heart about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And that's
it was
the thing.
Beautiful to see.
Those personal convictions, they are beautiful because
yes.
maybe how God is leading you is not where he's leading me. And that doesn't make me or you more holy.
No.
But I think that's where things can get kind of sticky, especially within the church, Michelle, because I do feel like one of the ways that I got a little bit confused, even though I had these girls as my first examples, is I started overhearing some other people talking in the church about women that were dressing immodestly.
Okay.
And so I started saying, okay, so how I dress to these people determines how serious I am about God. That's how they evaluate me.
Hmm.
So because they are completely covered in these ways, they only wear skirts, they do not cut their hair, and everything they say is about, well, you know, it says in the Bible, so that's a different interpretation, you mm-hmm. know, of those verses.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started seeing, like, wow, I need to make sure that this group understands that I love God too, I'm serious about God too, so I started changing what I was wearing, but it was solely based on wanting kind of like this Christian approval from this group.
Okay.
And then it went into a sadness every time I had to walk into my closet. Mm. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be myself, mm-hmm. but I also didn't want to be made fun of or have people looking down on me. And I think this is how we can really get in a sticky situation, because people should not feel like, well, I'm going to wear this so that when Michelle Benoit passes me in service, she says, I'm proud of you. We've totally come away from the goal of what we're trying to show or display. If it
yeah.
becomes about people and no longer about God, we have lost our way.
I agree. Some synonyms for modesty are chastity,
mm-hmm.
decency, purity, innocence, discreetness,
yes.
virtue.
Mm-hmm.
I want those inner qualities.
Yes.
Some opposites are arrogance, conceit, mm-hmm. immorality, pride, not what I want on my tombstone.
Right.
So
right.
we've got some comments from Facebook. Kia, good morning. Good
Hi,
to hear from
Kia.
You.
Oh, I love when Kia says facts. She says it during service too, whenever I'm in Edgewood. I'm always like, oh, Kia's here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Love you, Kia. Thank you so much for your support, girl. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Yeah, this is an important topic for us, Michelle, because for us as women, especially as a group that can easily turn on each other, I'm just going to put it out there. We need to be able to turn back towards Christ and say, you know, God, weed it out of my heart so that I can have unity with my sister. I'm speaking from a place of insecurity right now. I'm already working on this with you. So help me, Lord, to redefine how I look at myself. And I think that it's important to note, too, we had talked about, Michelle, at this time period when this verse was written, you know, Paul was talking to women who were under the influence of the goddess Diana in Ephesian culture. And when I looked up facts on Diana, I was like, whoa, Diana, please cover yourself, you know. But she was the goddess of fertility and nourishment and animals. And so, of course, as a woman, you're going to look at the visual of who everybody's saying, oh, you got to be like her. And you're going to start trying to attribute those qualities. So I love the fact that Paul is saying, like, hey, let's redefine this from God's perspective rather than from culture's perspective, because you are set apart now. And let's make sure you know what that means in this area as well.
Excellent point. Back in 2 Timothy, the second word is propriety.
Okay.
King James uses shamefacedness, but this is nothing about shame. This means a sense of modesty with regard for others.
Yes.
Showing respect.
Yes.
Appropriateness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want clothes that fit. I want them to flatter. Okay. I'm not going to come to church in sweatpants and an oversized t-shirt and a big hoodie.
Sure.
You can.
Yeah, unless, you know, you were studying for finals, maybe you were gardening before you came. You know, there's exceptions.
It's okay. But my first goal is clean.
Yes. Amen.
Clean clothes.
I told you. Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yes. But what does it say about us when we're dressing sensationally or sensually?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Sensational versus sensual.
Yeah, we've got to make a difference. If we're dressing sensationally, are we trying to one-up our girlfriends?
You know, see, that's what I'm saying, Michelle. There's a lot within the cultural mindset that has kind of tucked itself away in our thinking.
Yeah.
I don't even think we realize it sometimes, honestly, Michelle, until somebody jolts that insecurity because of what they're wearing, how it fits them. Mm-hmm. We look at the number of kids they've had and the number of kids I've had. Maybe it's the same number and we look different. You know, like, it's just all about this comparison because women in general, it's very different for us to function when we feel ugly. No matter what the cause is, it's just very difficult for us. And we need to constantly be washing ourselves in the word and evaluating, do I feel bad about this because of comparison? Maybe it's not even somebody else. Maybe I just knew that I messed up royally and I could have done a better job. God, forgive me. God, help me. Help me remember that my entire identity is not wrapped up in this mistake. You know, it's very important for us.
Yes.
And then I think there's a positive aspect of that as well. I feel awesome today. I had my quiet time. Mm-hmm. I did not yell at my children.
Woo-hoo.
My husband and I are so unified. I'm going to Bible study. I'm going to church. And I just want to reflect that today. So I am going to pull out the new dress. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a special occasion. I'm the occasion today.
I love that.
Because I came to God. He washed me clean. And I really sensed it in my heart. And my hope is restored. And sometimes I think we can feel like, are you trying to make a statement? You know, you're just coming here. You're just coming there. But who knows? You could be looking at somebody radiating because they just had a breakthrough in their faith. So encourage them. Don't compare yourself to
them. Beautiful. I don't like clothes that are itchy or too tight, you know. So I want to dress comfortably.
Yes.
And my goal is, I put something on this top is a prime example. I've worn this, I think, for 10 years in the summer.
Wow.
And I forget about it.
Okay.
That's what I want, to be unconscious.
Sure.
I look in the mirror. I've got my top on.
Mm-hmm.
I've got pants on, too. just
I hope
just
so.
Just because I'm just talking about the top here. And then I go out the door, and I never have to think about it again.
Because you liked how you looked when you left.
I did.
Yes.
But if you come to church or you go to the grocery store dressed in a way that shows you desire the attention to be on you, what does that say? Biblical modesty is not just about what we wear, how we think, how we act, how we communicate, and how we relate to others.
Yes, yes.
Propriety means respectability, mm-hmm. but harmony, suitability.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you fit.
Mm-hmm.
You fit. You look great.
Yeah.
Antonyms are discord, immorality, and bad manners.
Mm.
And we think of Delilah and Jezebel.
Oh,
we don't want to be imitating
those
girls.
Yeah.
We've got a great comment from Elizabeth on, I don't know, is that YouTube? Yes, YouTube.
Hi, Elizabeth.
She says, I'm thinking about not wanting to draw attention to myself, but just to bring out the best in myself in a beautiful way that reflects God's values.
Wow.
It's an excellent definition,
That's
Elizabeth.
Awesome.
Thank you.
God bless you, Elizabeth. You know, that makes me think, Michelle, too, about when I told you yesterday, we have a certain responsibility as the body of Christ to be a safe zone for people.
Beautiful.
You know, people should know that as they're growing in Christ, even if they're battling things all the way up to the front door, when they come in the church, they are going to be surrounded by women or men that are not turning their thoughts in a different direction on purpose. Now, like I said, everybody's in a different place in their faith.
Sure.
So there are going to be some hiccups there because we're all growing. But at the same time, the overarching tone within the body of Christ is you are safe here because we are all trying to follow God more than we're following ourselves. And we want that to have an overage in our life. And I just think about how sometimes because of these difference in cultural thinking versus trying to grow and our knowledge of the word, this can be a real challenge for young boys and young girls in particular, because they are going through so much already. They want response from each other. They want those affirmations. So it could be a set goal. When I go to service tonight, I am going to change into these pants and I'm going to make sure I sit right there because that will stimulate something, you know?
Yep.
And that's just the reality of having a flesh that is battling God, you know? But I think about the fact that, just like Elizabeth said, when you kind of have that honest moment with yourself and you say, okay, God, I'm doing this so that, you know, Bobby will look at me or, you know, Elizabeth, you know, will look at me. Then we can stop and say, but why do I need them looking at me so bad?
Yeah.
Why do I need it so bad to the degree I'm not even paying attention to the message? I just want to know if they're looking at me. You know, that comes from a place, and that's the place where God wants to have the ministry.
I agree. The third word in 1 Timothy 2 is moderation.
Okay.
All right. Soundness of mind or self-control.
Yes.
Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, which means God knows you cannot produce it without Him.
Mm-hmm.
When we're modest, we're choosing humility over vanity.
Yes.
We make choices according to what's best for everyone concerned,
mm-hmm.
rather than just indulging our own desires.
Yes.
And doing that requires self-control.
Yes, it
now,
does.
Now, you may look phenomenal in skin-tight jeans and a halter top. I don't know if anyone wears halter tops anymore.
I think that they're still out there.
But you know what? Let's leave that at home.
Yeah.
And let's wear things that reflect God's glory.
You don't want us to donate that to Blessing Boutique?
You can. I'd be happy to take all your halter tops. You won't see them.
Yeah, I was going to say, but what happens after is Michelle's business.
We won't talk about that. Hey, Blessing Boutique has 15 wedding gowns this year.
Oh, cool.
We were given 15 wedding gowns. They will all go for $1 a piece.
Oh, my God.
So whether you need a wedding gown for a wedding or a Halloween costume, you come to Blessing Boutique during convention.
That's so cool.
I'm just going to put, they've moved us, we're in the kid hut, which
You open, come into the opening of the church. That's awesome.
People who lack self-control, back to the topic, are like a city whose walls are broken down. And when I see you dressing immodestly, my heart breaks for you. I don't get angry.
Sure.
I don't get judgy. It's just, oh my goodness, honey.
Yeah.
I've sit with my teenage boys when they were younger, and I've had them sit and look at the floor the entire service because the girl in front of them just had something on in the summer that she shouldn't have worn to church.
Aww.
I've had some of my boys ask me, would you go talk to her?
Oh my God.
And it's like, well, honey, I can't talk to her in church.
Yeah.
She can't change here.
Sure.
Let's pray.
Oh my God.
But moderation speaks of patience, poise, and balance.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be that girl.
Yeah.
You know, opposites are wildness, outrageousness.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just say that's your authentic self.
Yeah.
your authentic self needs therapy.
Yeah. We all need Christ, Michelle. Christ, Michelle.
You know, modesty deals with what's going on inside of you first.
Yes, it does. It does. I love that. I love that the focus is on the interior.
Yep.
Yes.
And then propriety deals with how I affect people around me.
Yeah.
But then moderation, that self-control. Now we're talking about what God expects you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Modesty shows sensitivity to sin. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, okay. You can say, wow, I can wear anything I want. And if someone is affected by it, well, then too bad for them.
Yep. And I have heard people say that.
Well, that is like someone could walk into the grocery store absolutely nude. And everyone who sinned by looking at this person, that would be their problem.
Wow.
And that is so not it.
No.
You know, when you are acting that way, you are bound.
Yep.
You are in bondage.
Yes.
You are drawing unhealthy, undue attention to yourself. Sadly, most modern swimwear does not fit into the description of modest.
Yep.
And Job said he made a covenant with his eyes not to look on a woman. And I'm sure he never saw a woman in a string bikini or even a pair of capris.
Wow.
What did he see? A wrist or an ankle?
Mm-hmm.
And even that, he was concerned about himself. You make decisions based on lust.
Yes.
They're never going to be good.
Yes. Yes. That's so true.
You know.
And, you know, we talked about yesterday, Michelle, like a great quote that sums this up wonderfully is modesty is less of self and more of Christ.
Oh, beautiful.
That's really what it is. Beautiful. We can talk about what you should wear, what you shouldn't wear, this design, this style. We can talk about it all day. But no matter what we say or no matter what's in your closet, if your heart is not before God in a open, vulnerable way to ask him what he has to say to you about this, then there won't be any progress made, just like you said. And I think it's important to dissect it a little bit, because there are some biblical historians like Maggie Cotenthal, and she stated in her article, Modesty Misunderstood, What Men and Women Need to Know. Modesty is one of the most abused words in the Christianese dialect. It has been exclusively attached to women's dress, narrowing in definition to mean showing less skin and trying to prevent arousal in those looking on. However, Paul uses the same word, kosmios, to outline qualities men need to have to be overseers, because it means respectable. Modest has to do with respect. So in a word, they need to be practicing good behavior. One of the ways that we practice good behavior is taking God into account as we are dressing ourselves.
Very good.
And she also warns us that the enemy of our souls delights at the fact that he has the power to reduce the subject of modesty to revolve around women and men trying to manage their lustful thoughts and actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, modesty is the offspring of humility.
Oh,
right?
Beautiful.
It's the offspring of humility.
Beautiful.
And according to Romans 12:3, it's evaluating ourselves properly with sober judgment. And modesty is a behavior that flows out of remembering our true place of service.
Beautiful.
We are servants of God. When you represent God, that does mean something about what you want is supposed to appropriately die, because it is not you that live anymore, but Christ.
Beautiful. You know, participating in a sporting event, attending a wedding, or being near water does not change immodest into modest.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Hot weather does not make immodesty modest. Mm-hmm. And I've got some fashion advice for you ladies.
Okay.
Never wear anything that panics the cat.
The cat? I just got very lost. The cat?
Yes, the cat. Never wear anything that panics your cat.
Okay, noted.
And Peter is talking about your beauty should not be the outward adornment in 1 Peter 3:3. The inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit.
Wow.
You know, I think we've confused sexuality and femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality is wonderful for married ladies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a God-given desire.
Yes.
Ladies, enjoy it several times a week
with
your
gosh.
Husband.
Okay.
All right? With
Moving
your
on,
husband. Femininity is where we enjoy the gender that God assigned to us.
Yes.
If we're flirting, we're suggestive, like the woman in Proverbs 7. Oh my gosh, read about her in Proverbs 7. She is hunting for young men. Her husband's away on business, she said. And she's described as wearing the attire of a harlot. She's subtle of heart, loud, stubborn, impudent. The Bible says many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is on the way to hell.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's, you know, serious. God takes this seriously.
You know, Michelle, I wasn't sure if I was going to do it, but I'm going to read my song lyrics I told you about.
Oh, yes, please do.
I have some song lyrics today, everybody, because this used to be a song that I listened to a lot in college, and it was actually introduced to me by one of my guy friends because he would say, girls just do not think, especially on a college campus. I mean, those Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, it was like, go out at your own risk because you're going to be taking a lot of skin in. Mm. And so we listened to this song. I encourage you all to listen. It's a fun one. I'm going to try not to sing it, but just share the words with you. It's called That Dress by Cam. I don't know if some of you have heard it. But just listen to these words, because this is why it's important for us to understand whether or not we want to be, we are accountable, and we want to be encouraging our believers in Christ rather than helping them stumble. So the beginning, he speaks in the song, and he says, this song right here is strictly for believers, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. I know this might be controversial, but somebody has to say something. So this is what he says. This is a story about how he's thinking. I stepped into the church, mind on the Lord. I've been in the Word all week, ready for more. What do I see coming through the door? Self-control, man. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Maybe that was the only outfit that she had clean. That dress so tight she could barely breathe. Wherever she shops, they need to restock on dresses that come below her knees. That dress is for the club. What was she thinking about wearing that dress in here this morning? That dress is for the club. Maybe she didn't get a chance to take a glance at herself before she left. What is she trying to do? What is she trying to prove? Who is she trying to please? Maybe she wants to change her life, but she just didn't change what she wore last night up in the club.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
I mean, this used to be like a little anthem.
So that,
that we used to sing.
That
and
answers,
it put me in check.
Very good. That answers that the way I dress affects others.
Yes.
And all we have to think about is 2 Samuel 11, King David's walking on the roof of his house, and he sees Bathsheba taking a shower.
Yep.
A midnight shower with no curtain. The Bible says she was very beautiful to look at. Now, we all know what happened there.
Right.
It's a mess. It causes a snowball of sin.
Right.
Now, if she had been completely covered in a beautiful sari, sitting up on her roof, having a cup of tea and reading her Bible, would that have had the same effect on David?
I don't think so.
No, nope. The way we dress can tempt other people in ways that they would not otherwise be tempted.
Yes. Yes. And you don't know. I mean, the song goes on to say, you don't know who's dealing with what.
Yeah.
So don't make it hard for men to stay strong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so true. You know, when we come into the church and we're all there because we all need a word, we all need to be in the hospital, so to speak, because we're so broken and we all battle different things that are trying to pull us down every single day. We want that to be a safe haven for all of us. We want to be able to look at each other in the face and not feel like, well, today you're protecting me, but tomorrow you might be trying to tempt me, you know? And that's just the matter of the heart, you know, is God really being poured in? And I had to take some time, really, Michelle, especially after I first graduated college, to ask myself which principles that I follow are totally rooted in me versus which ones are totally rooted in God now. Because I didn't realize that I was still mixing the two in a lot of ways.
Sure.
When I was dating people, when I was learning more about my word and then kind of having the separation of, well, I like this, but I don't like that. So I'll apply this part, but not that part. You know, you need someone saying, when you've given your life to God, you've given all of it. So keep working it out. Work out that salvation. It is a transformation process, and it all begins in the heart.
Very, very good. William Strait, a pastor, said, respect is worth more than applause. And our last point is modesty is about freedom, not repression. Habitual immodesty is the fruit of slavery. A person is enslaved by their desire to attract the opposite sex.
Yes.
Or being defined by their fashion sense or worth, their sex appeal, maybe their weight. you know, our brand names.
Oh my gosh, that was huge when I was younger. I used to get made fun of because I wore certain brands to school, and I didn't even realize that was like a thing until it was like, you know, somebody was asking me questions about it. And I was like, why are we talking about the label on my pants? I just didn't get it because my mom and dad were not like that. They were like, this is nice. You look good, look respectable, you look cute. You're good to go. But that's the thing. Other people make you feel like, no, there's more to consider here than what you're considering. Mm-hmm. And we need that gate around our thinking, saying, I've considered God. I have prayed about this. I'm comfortable with this. I'm spirit-led about this. I have considered all the important things I need to.
Very good. Ladies, if you're married, have a little fashion show with your husband. Do the bend over check, you know, pretend you're picking up a penny off the floor. Honey, how does that look?
Oh my God.
Get rid of clothes that your husband vetoes.
Yeah. Yes,
get
absolutely.
Get rid of them.
Sure.
Because, and if you don't, if you're not married, have a girlfriend come over, have tea and have her, you know, check some of your things for you.
Mm.
Because you're asking yourself, what am I trying to accomplish with what I'm wearing?
Yes.
Ask the Holy Spirit to help you be self-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Dressing modesty frees us to embrace God's love for us without trying to get attention and validation through our body.
Yes.
Modesty frees us to enjoy the peace that comes from honoring God and the confidence that comes from respecting ourselves.
Yes.
And modesty removes a lot of pressure from us, the pressure of unwanted attention, sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask yourself, what's more important, wearing this dress or my relationship with the Lord?
Mm. Yeah, you know, Michelle, I really think that we have to make sure that we have a distinction here as well, because there are some women out there who say, listen, I'm a very full-figured woman, so I know that about myself, and it becomes obvious to other people, not because I'm necessarily trying to accent it, but because I'm trying to have this balance between I like what I'm wearing and I don't want to look, you know, frumpy.
Of course not.
You know, but at the same time, there are parts of me that are larger. You know, maybe I had a couple of children. Maybe I was an early developer in middle school. There are things that make people feel like maybe I should be ashamed to even let people see that I have a body, you know, because of how things just naturally fit. So I would like to say, as somebody who went through this in middle school, you know, there's a big difference between saying this looks nice on me, and yes, you can tell that I have a little bit of a shape, versus I am going to buy this two sizes too small on purpose. Mm. I'm going to not sit down while I wear these pants all day. I even saw an episode of something when I was younger where the girl was actually using a wrench to pull up her zipper. Because she was like, I have to wear these jeans. I have to wear these jeans. And, you know, I do think that it can get that far, especially in the minds of younger girls who have all these messages projected at them. When I was engaged to Justin, I was actually teaching a part-time middle school program. And I remember saying, I just want to spend some time with these girls so I can hear what they're thinking about. I can tell they're interested in boys. You know, like there's thoughts flying around, but I don't really know them. And Michelle, when I sat down and heard what some of these girls were saying, I mean, they were no more than maybe 12. And I heard one girl actually say, I have to wear my shirt a little bit lower tomorrow so that so-and-so will look at me more. Mm. Like she actually said that.
Mm.
And I remember being like, I made the decision that I was going to be a lot more open about my engagement to Justin on purpose, because I wanted them to just be able to know there is another way to consider all of this. Now, I wasn't putting myself on a pedestal, but I wanted them to understand that there were certain things Justin and I were engaged in our relationship regarding our wedding planning and what was to take place in our future and why he wanted to marry me. It was not because he got all these glimpses of me beforehand and that's how I had drawn him, but rather we were unified in the Lord and we wanted to extend that in our path together.
Absolutely beautiful.
And it was just amazing to me. I mean, girls are really going through a lot.
We get it. Our hearts are broken for the pressure that your daughter or your niece is, or your sister is under.
Yes.
But yes, you can embrace your curves, but let's hide the cleavage.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let me read you a definition of modesty. I think we're just about done.
Okay.
Modesty is a respectable manner of adorning one's body and carrying oneself, born out of a freedom from a worldly definition of beauty and worth and motivated by a hatred of sin and a desire to draw attention to God.
Wow. That's so beautiful, Michelle, you know, and it goes hand in hand with chastity, you know, which we're used to associating solely with abstinence. But, you know, the original definition is moral purity.
Beautiful.
You know, so when God is pouring in those principles of your heart, you just want the outflow to be visible, but you want it to be authentic as well. So we just encourage everybody listening today, as you grow in your own relationships with God, as you have relationships with others and you consider modesty, you consider chastity, you're just considering Christ and let him be shown in you through this way. It can be absolutely stunning in a way that culture has nothing on. Absolutely. Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We have loved being with you. We hope this has blessed you. And please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show as we continue to discuss modesty and showing Christ in various ways within the church body. God bless you guys. Love you.